Hello everyone, this is Caleb Wilson, missionary to Papua New Guinea. If you will, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6, in this passage we see a very, very good missions story, an example of people like us taking a need to people that are in need. Mark chapter number 6, let's go to verse number 30. Verse number 30 in Mark chapter 6. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They're very tired. They've been working to the point of exhaustion for Christ. They've been doing the ministry, and just like anybody in the ministry knows, we get tired, we get wore out, and sometimes we just need to get alone with Christ and rest. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them. Simply meaning, Jesus is going somewhere, and these people are trying to get to that same place, and they got there before he did. All right? So, and when Jesus came out, he saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Now, we see here what Christ thinks about lost people, how Christ thought about us when we were lost, when we were not his children, when we were not on his side. What did Christ think about us? He looked at us as sheep not having a shepherd, little helpless animals. We're Gentiles. In another passage, he calls us dogs. Gentile dogs is what he says. And we're just helpless creatures without our Savior, and he looks at us with compassion. Looks at us with compassion, knowing that he's the only one that can help us. And he sees our situation. He sees these people. He sees their situation. And what does he do? He shows compassion. The disciples, what do they do? What is their reaction? What is our reaction? Anytime we're in need of help, and then there's somebody else that has a need as well. When we're wore out, we get selfish, don't we? When we're really tired, some of us drive a lot. Me, personally, I drive a lot. And when I'm driving, and I finally get to lay down, I don't care about other people's needs. I'm very, very selfish when I'm really exhausted. And that's the same state of mind these disciples were in. Not to criticize them, because I have the same thing. But it shows you the contrast between what Christ thinks and what they are feeling. And see, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past, the disciples said. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. These people are saying, we need food. And the disciples are saying, Lord, we are tired, we're exhausted. Send them away, let them provide food for themselves. When the disciples didn't have to provide the gospel to themselves, Christ made sure he gave them the message. We have that same attitude of send them away, let somebody else deal with it. Let them figure it out themselves, when Christ did not make us figure it out ourselves. He made sure to send us a messenger. If you're saved, somebody told you about the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? The Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? It takes everyone getting the message to the next person. Now, what's Christ's answer? Well, they say, send them away. And what does Christ say? Give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And that's still his message to us today. If I had to title the message, it would be, give ye them to eat. You are commanded, you are responsible to get the gospel to the entire world, our generation. For God's will to be completed, every single person that exists at this moment needs to hear the gospel at least one time. It's not our job to save anybody. We don't have the power to do that. These disciples, we'll read in a minute, did not have to provide the miracle. Christ provided the miracle, but he told them, get this to all of the people. Our job is not to make the decision for them. We can't. We can't save these people. Our job is to lead them to Christ, and whatever they do with him when they get there is between them and God. That's their business, and we have no input in that. But we did our job. We got them to the Savior. And that's still what we're supposed to do today. Give ye them to eat. Now, how are we supposed to do this? Every single person that exists, how are we supposed to do something so great? He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled. How are we supposed to get this done? I see a message in here and what Christ would have us to glean from this passage. It started with a command. There was a command. There's needs everywhere, and God has commanded you as an individual, as a church, as every saved person that's ever existed, all the way down again to the individual. We are all commanded to give this lost world something to eat, to give them of the bread of life, no matter what we think about it, no matter what our personality is. I have lots of people tell me I just don't have the personality for witnessing or evangelism. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you feel like, what your strengths and weaknesses are. I'm Caleb Wilson, and I'm very extroverted. I love people, love being around people. I love meeting new people. I have the perfect personality, you would think, for witnessing. And do you know that's the hardest thing in my Christian life to do? And it's my personality to talk to people. But it's the hardest thing in my life to do because no matter who you are, the flesh does not like to obey God. But it doesn't matter what the flesh likes to do. Doesn't matter what we feel like doing, we're still commanded, give ye them to eat. There is the commandment. Then there is counsel. Does God want the gospel in Papua New Guinea? Absolutely. Does that mean it's God's will for everyone to move to Papua New Guinea? No, not at all. It takes God's counsel to, we read what the Bible says, we know what to do, now we have to see how do we do that. And you see, the disciples, they immediately thought of money. How do we get that much money? And Christ said, it's not about the money. It's about the miracle. Amen? Now, as a missionary, I can attest, it takes a lot of money. But money is not the main thing. The goal is not raise a bunch of money. The goal is see people saved to give God glory. Money is a means in our society. It's a means to that end, but that's not the main thing. That should not be what drives us. There's the commandment. There is counsel. How do we do this, Lord? We can't get that much money. And Christ said, I don't want to use money. I want to provide a miracle. There are some things money cannot buy. If I had all the money in the world, There are still things that I could not do in Papua New Guinea without God. There are many things, even if I had all the money in the world, that I could not do without the Lord. And so money is definitely a means to that end, but the priority is getting the gospel to those people, and it takes the counsel of the Lord, not just money, it takes the counsel of the Lord to be exactly where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. Papua New Guinea for me, Akron, Ohio for some, California for some, Thailand for some. There's commandment, there's counsel, and then there is cooperation. It takes all of us working together. Each disciple had to be doing his specific job. God divided the people into sections and put them in order, and then he gave this set of people to this disciple, this set of people to this disciple, and he had these disciples work together. That's the only way God blesses. God cannot bless discord. He makes good come out of discord sometimes, but he cannot do everything in his power in the midst of discord. He cannot bless it. He commands us so often in the scripture, be ye of one mind. If God had it his way, we would all be of one mind. Not one person or different people. We're not clones of each other. God did not call you to be Caleb Wilson. But he did call us all to be Christ-like and of one mind. If our goal is the same, then God is pleased. That's why in the book of Acts, so many people got saved. Why? Because everyone was in one accord. And that's what it takes to get this gospel to the entire world. It's a command. No matter what we think about it, we're commanded to do it. It's through counsel. We need God's opinion on the matter. We need to see what God thinks about it. And then it's through cooperation that it needs to be done. Do all of us doing what we're supposed to do. I can't go without you. You can't do what you're supposed to do without the missionary. And it takes all of us working together. And guess what the end result is? If we follow this pattern, everyone will be fed. They won't all get saved, but they will all have had the opportunity to be saved. Amen. Thank you.
Shannon, why don't you come to the piano? And let me say one more thing as we close in an invitation. When the 5,000 were fed, there were 12 baskets gathered that remained. There was more left over than when they started. Sometimes people feel like if I get involved in Faith Promise Giving, I won't have enough money. You're going to find out that when you do it God's way, and he'll do a miracle, and you have more left over than when you started. You know, I think we've kind of proved that around here, haven't we? I mean, the last month, we gave away $1,000 a week for 4 weeks, $4,000, actually counting the fifth week, $5,000 now. We've given $1,000 away to missionaries and evangelists that we know have been hurting. Brother Ted Houston, who hasn't had meetings for a long, long time because of the cancer and everything. Brother Tim Booth, heart surgery, bypass, open heart surgery they had to do. And missed a bunch of meetings. By the time he gets healthy enough to go out, the coronavirus happens and all these meetings get canceled. We're able to send $500 to each of these people, eight different people. And so much so that at the end of the month came, we had more money than we had when we started the month. So we voted to do it again. So for the next month, we'll be doing the same thing as the Lord provides. And I just want you to understand, you cannot outgive God. When you have the right attitude and the right spirit, you don't give to get, but you better get to give. You understand what I'm saying? And when the 5,000 were fed, they gathered up 12 baskets that remained. The little boy, they never tell us what happened to the baskets. I always think they gave the little boy 12 baskets to take home. He came back with more of a lunch than he left with. See, to me, that would be a great story. And I know I'm adding to this a little bit, but just, that's the way my mind works. What did we do with the baskets? No, did the disciples keep them? Well, if they're politicians, they did. Okay? But I would think, give them to the kid. Let the kid take them home. So he comes home. Look, Mom, what's this? It's what's left over from my lunch. What? Now that's a story. That's a story right there. I'm just saying to you, you cannot give God. And he's right. They can't go. The Wilsons can't go to Papua New Guinea without us. But we can't get the gospel to Papua New Guinea without them. And that's what our missions conference is all about. Having a 2020 vision, a clear vision of the guy across the street and the guy across the world. Let's get involved in missions. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this afternoon? Father, I pray that you bless us. As we hear from these missionaries like Brother Micah and Bible Tracks Inc. and Brother Wilson going to Papua New Guinea. And this morning, hearing from the different missionaries and hearing their burden and seeing their fields, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Give us a vision. May our eye affect our heart, like your word says. And may it affect us and move us with compassion, like Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude, that we might go and do our part. Help us all to be involved in this great process of missions and missions giving, so that we could be part of a miracle. Now bless our invitation, we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart about giving. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about going. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about doing more in your area. And maybe he's speaking to your heart about helping others that are more that are going to other places. But the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, which he begins to play in just a moment. Why don't you come? Maybe, and I want to say it again, like this morning, maybe God's laying someone on your heart. Someone that you need to go to, the guy across the street. Maybe someone that you can reach, and God's put in your heart a burden for that person to be saved, a friend, a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and make it a point of prayer to come and dedicate them to the Lord and beg the Lord to save them and to use you if possible, and if not use you, send someone else by to win them to Christ. I remember years ago in Minnesota when we first started the church there, over 20-some years ago now, we put up our website, and a missionary in Japan, I think it was, sent us a word through our website. He saw our website. His mother lived very close to our church, and we sent some ladies out to that house, and his mother got saved. And I was able to report back to that missionary that his mother got saved, and eventually we were able to support that missionary. So we were sending him money to send him to Japan to reach other people, and he called us so that we could reach his mother across town in our area. There was a great example of ministries working together. He couldn't reach his mother in Minnesota where we were. We couldn't reach the people in Japan where he was. We did our job at home, and his mother got saved. He did his job in Japan, and people got saved. That's the way it's supposed to work. Let's keep it working like that. If God's put somebody in your heart, come to this altar and pray for them. Maybe he's burdening you, and maybe you should come and pray about what you should give in faith promise. That'd be a good place to get answers, here at an old-fashioned altar. And if you're there listening at home, I want you to dedicate somebody to God in prayer that needs to be saved. I want you to ask God to help you to know what you give for faith promise if you're a mission or a member of our church. And if you're there listening or you're here in the auditorium, you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you're here, come and shake Johansson's hand. We'll have somebody sit down with the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're there listening, I want you to understand you need to know that you're a sinner. You need to know the price for your sins, death and hell. You need to know that Jesus paid that price with his death, burial, and resurrection, and you need to receive him as your Savior. If you want help with that, if you'll text us, call us, comment to us, drop us a note in the mail, we will be glad to help you with that any way we can so that you might know Christ as your Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You'll be the Holy Spirit of God and come in this invitation while the music plays. That's right, just slip out and come. A vision, a 2020 vision, a clear vision. Preached this morning about a clear vision of the lost, a clear vision of the land, and a clear vision of the Lord. This will be all. If you need to come, come quickly. Thank you for your attention. Just a couple of things here real fast. And you can go ahead and shut us off live stream if you would. Are we off? Have we been off? Excellent. A couple things. Wednesday night, we've been trying to have like a